From the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz, you're listening to Earth First Radio. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, something, everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run.
And welcome to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. In the news, you'll hear about corporations, government agencies, and people who are killing the planet, and folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, phone numbers, fax numbers, email, or web addresses, so please get a pencil or a pen and some recycled paper to write down the information, because this isn't couch potato radio, it's activist radio. And I'm asking you to take down the information and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, and making phone calls when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit, or locked down in a dragon at the road blockade. If you have information, news, comments, announcements, or anything else friendly for Earth First Radio, please keep that pencil handy and listen for the contact information later on in the show. And as always, we're going to start off with announcements. Stand up for the Sierras. There's a rally and march for the protection of the Sierra Nevadas next Thursday, May 18th, a week from today. And that's at noon at Memorial Park in Grass Valley. Take the Colfax exit off of Highway 49 and turn right on Colfax Avenue and you're downtown. Oh, and once again, right on Central Avenue and into the park. Sierra Pacific Industries is the largest timberland owner in North America and has raised concerns over its unprecedented 2,246% acceleration in forest clearcutting over the last several years and a shocking record of timber theft. Join Yuba Nation as we encourage Sierra Pacific Industries to immediately employ responsible, sustainable forest practices which honor and protect our cherished Yuba watershed. Help give a voice to the northern goshawk, black bear, California spotted owl, mountain lion, Pacific fisher, chinook, salmon, California red-legged frog, and countless other animal and plant beings. Help support small family loggers as we call an end to an industrial logging on a planet left with just a sliver of its original ecosystems intact. Speakers include Utah Phillips, Doug Brevington of the Sierra Club, John Muir Project, Brian Vincent, American Lands Alliance, Kyle Haynes, Klamath Forest Alliance, and Shasta Sierra Club, and Mary Nelson of Yuba Nation and Alan Stoller. If you'd like more information, call area code 530-445-0406. That's 530-445-0406. Once again, Thursday, May 18th at noon at the Memorial Park in Grass Valley, a rally and march. In Olympia, Washington on May 18th, you can listen to Casey Neal at the Midnight Sun. There's two shows, one at 7:30 and one at 10. And that's at 113 North Columbia Street in Olympia, Washington, May 18th. May 19th, he'll be in Bingen, Washington. That's just across the Columbia River from Hood River, Oregon. Going to be in the North Country? Well, the Year 2000 Big Woods Rendezvous is May 19th through the 21st, and this is dedicated to the spirit of Ani and Mario. And this will be 3 days of discussion, training, and networking. Together we can learn the tools of change. All kinds of workshops, climbing training, blockades, nonviolence, derailing the legal system, using media, and banner making. Talk about GM foods, national forests under siege, indigenous rights, animal rights, labor, and the environment. Organized by Big Woods Earth First in Minneapolis and held at a private campground in southern Minnesota, the Big Woods Rendezvous 2000 is going to be yummy vegetarian food, lodging in your tent or under the stars, and sharing in friendship. They ask you to register in advance so they know how much food to get and stuff like that. So, Big Woods Earth First, P.O. Box 580936. That's 580936, Minneapolis, Minnesota, the zip code 55458. And you can give their hotline a call at 612-362-3387. That's 612-362-3387. Or of course, bigwoodsef@hotmail.com. All right. Let's see. Wild Earth Resisting Ecocide, May 19th through the 26th. May 19th through the 26th. This is happening in the Alajo Valley of British Columbia. It's a scene of some big actions last year and hopefully this summer also, preserving the Great Bear Rainforest. Workshops, of course, carpooling, leaving from 622 Franklin Street in East Vancouver, British Columbia. And it's going to, let's see, there's all kinds of stuff. Here's the information number, 604-729-8933. That's 604-729-8933. Or email to wildearth@ziplip.com. That's Z-I-P-L-I-P, wildearth@ziplip.com. Or you can just come down to Wild Earth Center, Welcome Center, and Van Pool, 1622 Franklin Street in East Vancouver, British Columbia, pretty much. What do they need? Food, climbing gear, camping gear, batteries, rechargers, banners, gas or rental sponsorship, and audio and video equipment. Okay, give them a call if you've got that stuff. Help stop the East Side Timber Sale. This is May 19th at the Forest Service Headquarters in Warren, Pennsylvania. May 19th, we'll demonstrate to the Forest Service that poll after poll has shown Americans want commercial logging in our national forests to stop. Once again, that's May 19th at 11 a.m. outside the Forest Service Headquarters at 2222 Liberty Street in Warren, Pennsylvania. If you'd like more information, call the Allegheny Defense Project, 814-223-4996. That's the Allegheny Defense Project, 814-223-4996, or adp@envirolink.org, adp@envirolink.org. Sounds like a fun time. You're going to be in Utah? Well, get your butt to the Escalante Wilderness Action Gathering, May 19th through the 21st in Escalante, Utah. This gathering is in the heart of Hayduk Country. Few days of hanging out in the Utah wilderness in Escalante. If you want more information, call 435-826-4778. That's 435-826-4778. Or how about email to toripat@color-country.net. I'll spell that toripat@color-country.net. Or you can go to their webpage at escalantehouse.org/EWP. And our forests are under attack. And you want to do something about it? Well, folks will be climbing into the trees in various places. Eugene, Oregon, Arcata, California, Portland, Oregon, Mattole Valley, California, San Francisco, California, Ashland, Oregon, Mendocino County, Clearwater, Florida, New York City and New Jersey, and somewhere near ya. Nationwide tree climbing trainings are occurring on May 20th. If you want more information, contact the Canopy Action Network. To train or get involved, the Canopy Action Network is at canopyactionnetwork@excite.com, with the C, the A, and the N capitalized, just to make it a little more complicated. canopyactionnetwork@excite.com, or try their toll-free number, 1-888-PICKAXE. That's 1-888-PICKAXE, May 20th, nationwide tree climbing trainings. And let's get right into activist news here. This news is new pepper spray trial ordered by appeals court. May 5th by Mike Gianella of the Press Democrat. In a ruling reviving a bitter dispute over police tactics, a federal appeals court ordered a new trial for 9 North Coast anti-logging demonstrators whose eyelids were swabbed with pepper spray. The decision restores a lawsuit alleging that Eureka police officers and Humboldt County Sheriff's deputies used excessive force to remove prisoners from the Eureka office of Representative Frank Riggs and two other locations in 1997. Police videotapes showing a young woman screaming in pain were broadcast around the world, sparking an outcry about the use of pepper spray on nonviolent protesters. And the jurors deadlocked 4-4 after the first trial, and the judge subsequently dismissed the lawsuit. Given conflicting evidence concerning available alternatives to pepper spray, a 3-judge panel of the 9th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that the disputed issue of excessive force should have been left to a jury to decide. The appellate judges overturned a decision by U.S. District Judge Vaughn Walker, who tossed out the case against Humboldt Sheriff Deputy Dennis Lewis and others. After the first trial ended in a hung jury at the time, Walker said he doubted any jury could reach a verdict in the controversial case. The appeals court also ruled Walker erred when he granted immunity from damages to Lewis and his chief deputy before the case went to the first jury. Attorneys for the 9 demonstrators were jubilant about last Thursday's ruling, but lawyers for Humboldt County said there would be further appeals. Mark Hughes, a Colorado attorney who handled the appeal, said the ruling vindicates the right of demonstrators to engage in civil disobedience without having to fear police inflicting horrible pain on them. Unless the ruling is overturned on appeal, the case will return to U.S. District Court in San Francisco to schedule a new trial, and that's good news for our friends in North Coast Earth First. Saturday, May 13th, Eureka Freshwater Road. From Environmentally Sound Promotions, Nate Madsen gives new meaning to higher education. There will be a graduation ceremony and rally for tree sitter Nate Madsen. Nate has been sitting in an ancient redwood named Mariah for the last year and a half to protect it from logging by the Maxam Pacific Lumber Company. During that time, he has completed his bachelor's in physical science. He will not be able to attend the Humboldt State University graduation ceremony, and so his diploma will be presented to him at the tree by his supporters. Attendees are encouraged to wear caps and gowns to this rally, which overlooks devastating logging of redwoods. If you'd like more information, contact Environmentally Sound Promotions. Area code 707-923-4949. That's 707-923-4949. Or email to ensopro, ENSOPRO, at asis.com, ASIS.com. Or you can call Nate Madsen's pager at 707-476-9580. That's 707-476-9580. Or how about online photos at www.upatree.net/main.html. And Fayetteville, Arkansas is the setting for the most recent citizens' protest against government and corporate exploitation of local communities and the environment. A Kohl's shopping center is slated for construction on a site occupied by a grove of 150-year-old rare hardwood trees. City ordinances voted on by Fayetteville residents require these trees to be protected. This week, in direct violation of these ordinances, Kohl's Corporation, and with the cooperation of the real estate developer and a corrupt city planning commission, have pushed ahead with the development and are on the verge of beginning to cut the trees at any moment. Inspired by Fayetteville, Arkansas native Julia Butterfly, several local Arkansas residents have begun a vigil in the grove, complete with a tree canopy lockdown. This may be a small grove of trees compared to the numerous old-growth redwoods being devastated on the West Coast, but this action is very significant in such a conservative part of the country where any sort of progressive protest really shakes things up. It also promises to set a loud precedent for planning commissions around the country who think they can railroad over the voice of public opinion and violate environmental ordinances without repercussions. Fayetteville Action coordinators invite all direct action activists from around the country and around the world to converge on Fayetteville, Arkansas as soon as possible and make as big a noise as possible about this issue. If you can't join in person, here's some phone numbers. The Kohl Corporation, 262-703-7000. That's 262-703-7000, and ask to speak to CEO Larry Montgomery. All right, if you want more information about the Fayetteville protests, call the Campus Democracy Collective. Their number, 501-575-2275. That's 501-575-2275. Or just show up in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and go to the Grove of Trees just south of the Northwest Arkansas Mall on Highway 71B. Greens, as many of you know, the Texas Green Party is on the verge of pulling off the impossible, collecting 38,000 signatures within the 75 days allotted under Texas law to attain statewide ballot status. And they need help down there. They've got to collect 55,000 to 60,000 signatures in order to get 38,000 valid ones, and they have until the end of May. So They need some help down there. So get your butt to Texas. An urgent call is out for all petitioners. There's $1.50 a signature bonus gathered by petitioning. If you'd like a two-week visit in Texas to assist the Green Friends, call David Cobb. And his email, there's no phone number. It's email cobweb@onramp.net. That's C-O-B-B-W-E-B @onramp.net. Or Tom Lindsay at tal@cvns.net. That's tal@cvns.net. And they'll make sure that you get where you need to be at the right time. Let's get into activist news here. Aaron Abbott, the Ocean Defense International anti-whaling activist run over by a Coast Guard boat on April 20th, was arraigned on federal charges at U.S. District Court for allegedly violating the moving exclusionary zone around the controversial macaw whale hunt. Ms. Abbott's trial date is June 12th in Tacoma, Washington. Ms. Abbott, 24, was hospitalized with a broken shoulder and cracked ribs after a U.S. Coast Guard boat ran over her in a protest against whaling, killing of a whale by macaw hunters. The whale, however, escaped the confrontation. Another ODI crew member, Aaron O'Connell, was arrested that day off the coast of Nia Bay and also indicted on the same charges. Charges against activists by Chelum County for driving their vessels recklessly, unfortunately, have been dropped. The macaw can shoot innocent whales with anti-tank weapons, and the U.S. Coast Guard can brazenly run over a nonviolent demonstrator and they aren't charged, but a person concerned about the killing of a whale is indicted and must stand trial. Something is definitely wrong with all of this, said Jake Conroy, Ocean Defense International spokesperson. And apparently a federal jury has also had a problem with the prosecution of whale activists. The jury acquitted Scott Hopper of gross negligence in the operation of a vessel, in a charge stemming from his participation in the water protests against macaw whale hunt last year. And the U.S. Attorney's Office originally charged 8 activists in connection with the protests in 1998 and 1999. All cases so far have been dropped or postponed. And macaw whale hunters were on the water yesterday. That was Wednesday, the 10th of May. Here charged that it appears that the targets of the hunters are either mother whales, calf whales, or resident whales. All of these are on the protected list. And the news today, May 11th, is that there was no whaling today. According to Ocean Defense International, the whales in the area are being tracked by the macaw, are feeding and staying in the area and not heading north as part of a migration. Under federal code, this means the macaw cannot kill them. The whales today are feeding and not making any attempts to head north, according to our experts. That probably means they are either mothers with their calves or resident whales, and both are not to be hunted, according to the National Marine Fisheries, said Ocean Defense International flagship captain Jonathan Paul. Paul said most of the whales have already migrated north, leaving mostly mothers and calves behind. Whale defenders have also observed whales actively avoiding the hunting boats when they observe them. Paul said his crew is also on the watch to see if macaw whalers violate federal law, as they did last weekend when they failed to send a radio message as required by law setting up the 500-yard exclusionary zone around the hunt. Alleged violation of that zone was used to arrest anti-whaling activists last month, and also on the scene to document the Whale Man Foundation. Up in the North Woods, after several weeks of spring and summer weather, we awoke this morning with a blanket of snow on the ground. A small group of buffalo is on the move for green grass outside the invisible Yellowstone Park boundaries, and the Montana Department of Livestock is in town to harass them. Our patrols noted 3 Department of Livestock trucks arriving from Helena, Montana yesterday afternoon with horse trailers and all-terrain vehicles in tow. Within minutes of their arrival, the agencies unloaded their ATVs and went to work at hazing a group of buffalo with cracker gun rounds back into Yellowstone National Park. As I write, there is another hazing operation underway, 3 DOL agents on horseback alone chasing a lone buffalo into the park near Duck Creek in violation of the park's grizzly bear closure. Once inside the park, they continued to fire cracker gun rounds at the buffalo and 10 others that were grazing within park boundaries. They are currently more than a mile and a half inside the park and continue to chase the 11 buffalo. In another incident, Department of Livestock agents spent 5 hours chasing a lone bull buffalo into Yellowstone. The bull was grazing on private land nearly 10 miles from the park's boundary near Highway 20. There are several buffalo on the Horse Butte Peninsula that we've been watching especially closely today. If the Department of Livestock attempts to haze buffalo from Horse Butte, it could help with a case we are building against their actions, and Earth First Radio will have more news about that later on. and police restitution and harassment. Back in the September of 1999, Matt Bullard did a protest civil disobedience against animal research at the University of Minnesota. He was hanging from the side of a research building 200 feet up for 6 days with a banner that read, "Stop Animal Torture Now." And if you want to see that news, go to www.mndaily.com/daily/1999/09/08/news/MOOS for that information. His trial for the charge of trespassing is on Monday, May 15th. And he's not too worried about the charge, but apart from that charge, the University Police Department and the city attorney are seeking anywhere from $26,000 to $50,000 in restitution for all the police and fire people who were on the scene for most of the protest, 24 hours a day. This is part of ongoing harassment and attempts to stifle activities of the animal liberation activists at the University of Minnesota and the Twin Cities. If you can, would you please give the city attorney, the university police detective, and the university president a call and ask or demand that the seeking of restitution from Matt Bullard be immediately dismissed? He never asked for the police to be there anyway. The Minneapolis City Attorney, Mike Hess, 612-673-2010. That's Mike Hess, Minneapolis City Attorney, 612-673-2010. University Police Detective Marianne Olson at 612-624-4879. That's Marianne Olson, University Police Detective, 612-624-4879. Or the University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff. His number, 612-626-1616. Once again, University of Minnesota President Mark Udoff, 612-626-1616. Tell them all to drop their demand for restitution from Matt Bullard. Thank you for Total Animal Liberation, Matt Bullard. And his email address for more information is veganwarrior@hotmail.com. Once again, Matt Bullard, his email address, veganwarrior@hotmail.com. And give him a little encouragement in his hour of need here. On April 29th, a broad coalition of over 700 citizens gathered in Madison, Wisconsin, and marched to the state capitol steps to protest various corporate proposals, including the Crandon Mine and a huge new power transmission line in Wisconsin. The rally, organized by Wolf Watershed Education Project, included high school and college students, farmers, unionists, Native Americans, sport fishers, and environmentalists from all over the state. As an editorial in the Capital Times put it, the event was a terrific example of the diversity and depth of the coalitions that are calling for a shift in the state policy on a host of environmental issues. The Crandon Mine, located near the Mole Lake Chippewa Reservation, would use 18 to 20 tons of cyanide per month in ore processing and end up being the largest toxic waste dump in state history. Protesters carried headstones representing rivers around the world that have been killed by cyanide spills from mines, referring to the huge Canadian dams that would be the source of the 115 kilovolt feeder line to the mine. Nashville Town Chairman Sleater is quoted in the the Wolf Watershed Education Project release, observing, "At one end of the line in Manitoba, a tribe has been devastated, and they want to connect the line to another tribe and devastate it as well. That is totally unacceptable." And the Compartment 1035 project on the Wichita National Forest in Arkansas contains the following proposed actions: 324 acres of commercial thinning, unspecified areas of herbicide application, 983 areas of prescribed burning, 87 acres of seed tree logging, basically clear cuts. This project will supposedly generate $139,000, but how much money does it cost to do all that? You better ask your Forest Service. If you want to make a comment on the Compartment 1035 project on the Wichita National Forest in Arkansas, here's the contact information. The Forest Service contact is Robert Mitchell. He's the district ranger. P.O. Box 332, Auden, Arkansas. That's O-D-E-N, Arkansas, 71961. Once again, that address, Robert L. Mitchell, district ranger, P.O. Box 332, Auden, Arkansas, 71961. And if you want more information, contact Devin, D-E-V-I-N, at heartwood.org. We're happy to announce the Citizen's Guide to Federal Land Exchanges, a manual for public land advocates. It's now available in hard copy from the Western Land Exchange Project. It's a 100-page, copiously footnoted and illustrated guide, provides an overview of land exchange issues, provides a step-by-step guidance for becoming involved in navigating the legal and political shoals of land trades, and if warranted, challenging exchanges affecting your home ground. Guide is available from the Western Land Exchange Project for $12.50. Want to know how to get a copy of it? Once again, $12.50 to Janine Blalock, B-L-A-E-L-O-C-K, Director of the Western Land Exchange Project, P.O. Box 95545, Seattle, Washington, 98145. Once again, that address, send $12.50 for your copy of The Citizen's Guide to Federal Land Exchanges to the Western Land Exchange Project, P.O. Box 95545, Seattle, Washington, 98145, or give them a call. They'll take your credit card, 206-325-3503. That's 206-325-3503. Well, we've got plenty more news and stuff coming up, but first, we're going to take a little break here, play some music for you.
I was born south of the border, but I could not find a job. I swam across the Rio Grande, I paid $1,000 to the mob. I traveled up to Mendocino, where I found work in forestry. They paid me $7 an hour, pulling green chain for LP. But now LP, they moved to Mexico. Pretty bummed. The $1,000 I paid the coyote, it didn't come with no refund. They left Ukiah a ghost town. I didn't know that's what they planned. And how my arms were getting tired, swimming across the Rio Grande. I was born here in Ukiah. I worked here at the LP mill. I watched them kill the Russian River and a couple friends of mine as well. I work 6 10-hour shifts a week, so where's my pat on the back? I wanna keep on milling redwood. I bear some Spanish jack. Because LP, they moved to Mexico. Yes, this gold boy is sour. I had to move south of the border. They paid me 50 cents an hour. They left Ukiah a ghost town. I didn't know that's what they planned. And now my arms were getting tired, swimming across the Rio Grande. And yes, my arms were getting tired, swimming across the Rio.
And that was Daryl Cherney off his Timber cassette, and Earth First Radio will be right back. Stay tuned.